Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Oh, welcome to Legends Avenue. It's called TB12. Let's get it.
So it feels very unlike the Patriot way.
They call it the Patriot way.
Dale Arnold.
14 has mono. It won't be out for this game.
It's not always that.
Sam Darnold.
So,
Rich Keith.
Did you ever think that maybe there's more to life than being really, really ridiculously good looking?
Okay, it's time for me to look myself in the mirror.
I will spend 4 to 8 hours in front of the mirror.
Dale and Keith, middays.
Right. What was the slogan? One of the something like a cracker, but more like a smoke.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Andy Hart, WEEI.com, is in the house with us as well. On a Patriots Friday, we've already spoken to Devin McCourty. We will also talk with Michael Irvin. Sometime after 1 o'clock, it'll depend on arrival time of his flight. He was at that lovely game last night. He's flying back home this morning.
Classic Thursday night football.
Just a classic. Just to catch up to date on the news concerning Antonio Brown, because there's been some today. Adam Schefter reported that the commissioner, the NFL, will not place Antonio Brown on the commissioner's exempt list at this point, meaning he will be eligible to play Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. The league has opened an investigation into Brown. It will include interviews with Antonio Brown and Brittany Taylor. She is the former trainer who filed the lawsuit in the Southern District of Florida on Tuesday, in which she accused him of sexually assaulting her on two occasions and actually accused him of rape on a third occasion. According to Schefter, Taylor is scheduled to meet with the NFL next week. Antonio Brown will also be interviewed by the NFL. I don't know that it'll be next week, but at some point in the near future here. Bill Belichick met with the media a few minutes ago, was asked whether or not they were going to play Antonio Brown on Sunday. He, of course, opened up completely, gave it all up,
yep,
and said we'll do what's best for the team.
Yeah, that's right. Don't you guys get the sense, or I do, I don't know how you feel, that if he is not Antonio Brown on the commissioner's exempt list next week at this time, then as far as this one issue is concerned, he'll probably play all season. Because they're going to speak with Antonio Brown and with Brittany Taylor next week. And so if they sit down and interview both and view like there's not enough there, then my sense is Antonio Brown will be able to play.
Yeah. With one exception. If she identifies the other player and they then talk to the other player and he says, yeah, well, I was there.
No, but my point is if we're sitting here next week at this time and he's not there yet, unless you think the player takes another week. I feel like next week we're going to have more information
if
on
they
this.
Get them. Now, it could be delayed with her. It could be delayed with Brown. It could be delayed with the other player.
I was surprised she was going to talk to them next week. She's getting married tomorrow, reportedly. My assumption here is you go on your honeymoon after you get married.
Not everybody.
And yet, apparently, she's going to be available.
I don't know that we can assume anything in this case. My assumption would be you don't file the lawsuit the week of your wedding.
Right.
That strikes me as strange.
No, but I think that was all brought about because of the leak by Incarcerated Bob on Saturday, where her attorney suddenly said, "All right, look, it's out there now. We gotta go."
I'd say no. I would say no personally. I'd say this. Yeah, like this is my wedding week,
right? Like, I can wait.
And you know, this
weeks.
Is going to blow up. He's the biggest story in sports for the last week plus.
Yeah.
He's going to the Patriots, who are automatically magnify any story.
I mean, the league should be able to talk to Antonio at any time.
Theoretically,
right? Like, why not? Whether they come down here, they make him go. Like, it's a league investigation. They can talk to him.
What if
whenever.
He just says no? Is that enough to put him on the commissioner's
Probably.
Exempt list?
Yeah,
I would also
knowing
argue,
the commissioner that we do.
Yes,
that absolutely would put him on the list.
The other flaw with your logic is the Ezekiel Elliott case, where the investigator said nothing.
That's true.
And then they met at the higher level,
and like, oh,
boom,
games.
Suspension. So
Yeah, if unfortunately, the investigator, with the NFL, who the hell knows what their standard
really have no
is.
Idea.
No, you don't know. No, I'm not saying we know what the ruling will be. I just think next week at this time, we should have a lot more information.
Theoretically, there will be more information next week at this time.
I mean, I could actually envision, because this is the way I think of the NFL now, and I don't know who from the NFL will interview Brittany Taylor. Let's say Troy Vincent, for the lack of a better term. You know, he interviews her. And the interview's over, and she's leaving 345 Park Avenue, and he walks into Roger's office and says, man, I'm telling you, she's telling us the truth. I could see the commissioner saying, we put him on the exempt list.
Right.
That's the way they operate there.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But if she walks out and it's the other way,
right,
then I think, I don't know, what are you going to go back again on it? And again, maybe there's always the possibility of more information coming out, but we're talking about three incidents that happened 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, and if there aren't a lot of witnesses, man, it's going to be tough to prove either
way. And you
way.
Don't have subpoena power, so you can't dig up witnesses or force the other player to come in, I guess unless he was active, right? If you were an active player, you can kind of... Or he goes on the commissioner's exempt list.
Yeah, it's theoretically possible that this player is now retired, and he says, no, I'm not interested. No, I'm good. Or, as you said, you know, he's on an active roster right now in the NFL, and the commissioner says, oh, no, you're coming in now.
Right.
Although, I don't know that we'll get the name. Maybe he doesn't get the name. Maybe she won't give up the
name. We haven't heard who that is.
I mean, there's more questions than answers right now, but yes, your original point, there'll be more answers than there are now.
Right.
Sometime next week.
Like, you'll have a better indication on whether or not you can expect him to be here mid-season than yes or no.
Here's the other part of this that it confuses me a little bit. Whatever lawyer represents Brittany Taylor, who filed the lawsuit in the Southern District of Florida, the last thing I'd want her to do is go sit and talk to Roger Goodell. I don't want her talking to anybody. We got a legal case to prepare
for
here.
It is weird, isn't it?
No. You'll be talking in front of a judge. You're not going to talk to him.
Or is there value in speaking with the league, who then puts him on a list? Does that create some doubt or almost strengthen your case?
Maybe.
Because the league said, there's enough smoke here we don't want him playing for our league.
It is weird, though. Like, if your goal here, again, because it's not a criminal trial, you're not trying to put Antonio Brown in jail, but you are trying to get money, you know, for a number of reasons. You're trying to get money from him. Going to the NFL does seem like an odd play. Now,
well,
I guess she
reportedly said she wanted to talk to the NFL.
Yeah.
If I'm her lawyer, I say, you talk to him all you want when we're done in court.
Right.
Right. What's more important here, you know, getting him off of the football field or getting your money? In this case, what's more important? Wouldn't it be
from
getting,
his perspective?
No, for Brittany Taylor.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah,
the lawyer,
right.
And the lawyer saying, no, what matters to us here is that case in court.
Especially
to the lawyer who
gets paid on that, not on Antonio Brown suspended for three games.
Right, and if you're her and you want to punish Antonio Brown as you would want to, maybe taking him off the field is also an added bonus.
Sure.
Right? Like, maybe that's another thing. Like, all right, I'm going to hurt you here. Maybe we don't have enough to put you behind bars, but if I can make you miss football games and take some of your money, I'm going to find a way to hurt you.
And Dale's right. If you go, if the lawyer convinced her of that, let's go the civil route first. We're not talking to the league until this runs its course. And you win a civil suit, the NFL is going to do something about it because he's basically been found 51% guilty, right?
Right.
That's the...
Oh, they will then suspend him.
Right. So you could enact that revenge and get him in trouble with the league. Can I ask one quick question that I've heard...
Of course.
All of you talk radio types talk about.
You're
on the radio.
Okay, that's why I want to talk about it.
Okay.
So I brought it up.
Good.
Why would the Patriots bring in Antonio Brown? What's the motivation?
Simple. He's the best receiver in the NFL, and you got him for nothing.
Well, you didn't get him for nothing. You got him for more than I wanted to give him.
I think it's nothing. You didn't give up any draft picks or players.
In my mind,
it's nothing, but I understand. It's $9 million.
It's not commensurate value. He's the best receiver in football. It should be 6 years, $90 million. You got 1 year, maybe $15 million,
maybe
$10 million.
It should be 6 years, $90 million. Or if he was just straight up on the Raiders and you wanted to trade for him,
right,
it would be minimum a third and a fifth,
right,
because that's what it costs to get him. It'd probably be more than that.
I've heard a lot of people in this business, outside this business, they're going for the perfect season. That's all they have left to achieve. Last night on TV, they were arguing it. Like,
I think they go for the perfect season every year.
I think they go for talent. You want to add the most talent to your team.
But you try to win every game. So, like, that's a dumb thing to say. Of course you're going for... You're technically going for the perfect season every time you roll it out.
Right.
There's 16 teams still eligible for the perfect season right now. Or
I'm going to suggest the Dolphins probably aren't going for the perfect season, but the Patriots sure think they are.
The Dolphins are. They're just
going to fail
miserably. They may have the
week one, they realize that's out.
Perfect season.
Like, half the teams right away. All right, well, that's
but
out.
But I think it's as simple as you have 53 guys on the roster.
Yeah.
If the 53rd guy isn't as good as the player that becomes available, they consider adding him so that my team is better. It's that simple. Now, this is a dramatic case where you're adding the best receiver in football.
Right.
But if a better punt returner becomes available, Gunner,
upgrade.
You're out.
Upgrade.
We're signing this guy.
You're always looking to upgrade.
I want the best 53.
But there is also a positive and negative aspect to this. I mean, you are adding the best wide receiver in football. I've acknowledged that even when I said I didn't want him here. But there's some baggage here.
Sure.
And you've got to decide, is the baggage worth the talent level? And they've obviously decided that it is.
Right.
Now, that could change in a heartbeat if they ultimately determine, hey, you know what? We didn't think he did this, but now we're not so sure. There is positive and negative.
Yes, but my point is they're not weighing the negative against the positive being the perfect season. We're going for the perfect season. That's all we're focused on.
No, that'd be
I've heard
added
people say
bonus.
It's the one thing left for them to accomplish. Huh. No, the one thing left for them to accomplish is win another Super Bowl, first team to seven, right. Add to their rings, their legacy, their dominance, their history, all of that. But on a smaller level, I think Bill Belichick says he moves those little things around the board and says,
yeah.
we can add a better player. Why would we not add a better player?
I think it's an added bonus. And also, there's no guarantee that they win the Super Bowl. I think a lot of people pick them to even before Antonio Brown. But the Chiefs,
there's no guarantee now for crying
no,
out.
No, there isn't. Of course there's not. And the Chiefs are still a very good team. I think just like the 19-0 season could be an added bonus, also keeping Antonio Brown away from a contending team is another added bonus. That's not why you signed him, but I think that helps, right?
I'd love to see him on the Chiefs,
too. Oh, my God, it'd be insane.
If you're just lusting after playmaking, obviously you want him on the Patriots because now he's going to make plays for Brady. But if you added
and
him
now you're
to
building my villain team down
Tyreek
there in Kansas City.
Hill and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, holy crapoli.
So you avoid that.
So earlier today we said Bill Belichick did meet with the media, wasn't going to give up the game plan, wasn't going to give up whether or not Antonio Brown was going to play on Sunday. He did talk about the things facing Antonio Brown this week.
I mean, the systems aren't built, you know, from the same tree, the branches. I mean, they're just formations, play calling, protections, routes. So it's associating one word with another, you know, word that you know, and now a new word, and trying to associate those two. But they might be the same, they might not quite be the same. There could be subtle differences based on different coverages or leverage that the defender plays, how we would run those routes. So, you know, there's a lot of variation there. Let's say the West Coast offense has, you know, core principles from one team to another. I think a lot of those principles would carry over. But that's not what we do. So it's not good or bad. It's just, it is what it is. But that's pretty common. We go through that a lot, you know. Sometimes, like Newhouse, you know, was in Buffalo. There's a lot of similar terminology. Some techniques maybe that are different, but the terminology conceptually is the same. Some of the play calling concepts are the same. So that's a lot different transition for him than Antonio. But like, it is what it is. It's not good or bad. It's just, so you take each player, you take each situation, and you learn as much as you can about what that player knows, what he's familiar with, what you do, and try to merge the two together. It's called teaching.
So at the risk of talking about football for a second here and not the off-field stuff, do you either of you guys have any concern about Antonio Brown getting into this offense? Because he is a much, much better player than Chad Johnson or Ocho Cinco when he was here.
Yes.
But he was a very productive player in Cincinnati. And when he came in here, I thought he was going to be good, and he was awful. Like,
right.
He couldn't figure out the playbook or whatever. He was not on the same page with Brady at all. We've also seen other receivers. Now, they didn't have a whole lot left in the tank. Come in here and not be able to figure it out. Do you have any concern that Antonio Brown is going to be lost in the offense?
The only concern I have here is the reports that we were hearing earlier on in the week that he's a freelancer.
Yep.
That you know, he kind of wants to do his own thing. You find him. There were reports both with Ben and with Derek Carr that they're holding the ball longer because they're not sure where he's going to be and they're waiting for him to do what he's going to do. I saw a stat earlier this week and I can't remember who had it out there. He had the highest percentage of passes thrown to him last year that were intercepted. And that has to do with,
although
I don't know, you know, in Brady's case, I want a 7 yard out. I don't want a 6. I don't want an 8. And so, if he's off going where he's going to go.
That story, I know exactly what you're talking about, that the percentage of balls thrown his way get picked off more than anybody else. I saw Greg Bedard.
It was Bedard, yes.
And he did an updated story where he went back and watched the last 4 seasons of Ben Roethlisberger throwing to Brown, and he said almost all of them were not on Brown. And so I think it's a high-volume interception guy is Roethlisberger anyway. And so I think it's more of a Roethlisberger issue than it was a Brown issue. My one thing, and Andy, I know you said you do have some concern. Don't the Patriots run a lot of option routes anyway?
Yep.
And it's sort of, hey, look at how the defense is playing you and get open.
I don't think they will with him this week. I think
maybe not this week.
It's going to be small package of specific plays, bubble screens, and some things to just get him the ball, see if he can make some things happen.
Because Gordon has really, again, there's one game you can point to if you don't like Gordon. It was last year against Tennessee. They threw to him a ton. He was very, it was unproductive. And then even the last game against Pittsburgh, because I think he already knew his time was up. But for the most part, that's an example of a guy who also came in during the season, for the most part, fit in pretty nicely.
Yes. I have listening to all the Pittsburgh writers this week, they paint him as a guy that freelances all the time with his routes.
Mm.
That over the years, Ben took responsibility for a lot of interceptions that were on Antonio Brown, that he just ran whatever the hell he wanted to, and balls got picked off, and Ben kind of played the good soldier, and that was part of their relationship deteriorating, is that Ben was done doing it. He was sick of being called the quarterback who throws a lot of interceptions, bonehead throws, when he's saying, no, that was as much on him as it was on me.
He looked good without Antonio Brown week one.
He did. He did not very.
They almost scored a touchdown. Maybe one day they will.
I think there's a concern there because, Brady loves the idea now. But Randy Moss worked out perfectly. We all want to compare it to Randy Moss. They fell in love with each other. Bill is telling you he's the smartest football player he's ever coached. He was teaching me things about coverages and adjustments and all this. Antonio Brown does not have that reputation. He's more of a physical, dominant beast on the field.
He's a physical freak.
Right. Mm-hmm. Get him the ball. He's quick. He's fast. He can make people miss, and he can take it. Like Tyreek Hill. Like, I keep making that comparison. Yeah. There's some comparison there. If he is just continuously in the wrong place,
Brady will stop looking at him.
And he doesn't need him. Like, Josh Gordon, I think, was a desperation move a year ago, right?
Yep.
It's not desperation right now.
No.
You have Julian Edelman. You have Josh Gordon. You have a guy in Philip Dorsett love more than most people on the planet. Maybe more than his mother.
He's where you want
him
to be. Yeah, he's right
Brady
there.
Brady loves what Philip Dorsett is. And if he has Philip Dorsett over here, always going to do what I ask him to do, always going to catch it, always going to be in the right place. And this diva, great talent over here, who I got no freaking idea where he's going to be. Brady's going to look the other way. And then what does that do to Antonio Brown? How does that go? So, I have concerns, but more so long term. That's 3 weeks from now when they expect him to run the Patriots offense. We have these reads. You need to get on the same page with Brady. What's the adjustment? This week,
like what kind
throw
of
him the ball.
What percentage of snaps do you think he would get? Like, it's a complete guess on our
this
part.
This week. This week.
Like 50% of the offensive snaps?
I wouldn't even. That sounds high
to me.
Maybe
too much,
25-30% most.
Right. I do think that if you look at Antonio Brown's skill set, it seems as though he's best off working the middle of the football field where Brady loves to work anyway.
Yep.
I mean, his skill set seems to fit in with what Brady wants to do anyway, but the point about if Brady thinks he's going to be there
and
he's off there.
And that's in the middle of the field where there's safeties, corners, and linebackers.
That's a pick every time.
It's just waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other aspect is of a positive nature. He just attracts attention. Like the whole idea that without Gronk, who attracts the attention of the defense, I can tell you, it's 1-7. If he's on the field, safeties and corners and linebackers, because he goes underneath, so the linebackers are looking for him, the safeties are looking for him, the corners looking for him. He draws the attention that you used to count on Gronk.
Now you got one guy on Josh Gordon, most likely.
Mike Giardi's been all over this. Every hit I see him do, he talks about how they don't have enough guys on defense to cover these three.
Let's talk to the playmaker. Michael Irvin is brought to you by Anderson Windows and your local Anderson Windows dealers, Botello Lumber and JB Sash and Door, the VA New England Healthcare System, and the New England Honda dealers, driven by the award-winning 2019 Honda CR-V. The playmaker, Michael Irvin, joins us right now. Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
Man, I'm doing well, man. It's perfect timing, you guys, ringing me. You know, I'm sitting here going over that Patriot Steelers game again, getting ready to studying it as I put my show together for this weekend, and boom, I got a phone call. So perfect time. We can do it.
All right, tell me how you think Antonio Brown fits into that Patriots offense that you've been studying.
Well, the whole thing is this, and I keep hearing people say it, you know, I don't know how Antonio Brown can say Antonio Brown likes the free lance. He likes the free lance, and they have such a structured offense in New England. I don't know how he's going to work. Honestly, now this is you guys. It's us talking. I believe some of that is the anger at Antonio Brown for the mess that has gone on with Antonio Brown the last few weeks or the last few months, as opposed to them stepping back, removing their emotions about what they've seen, and looking at the situation. Now I'm going to look at the situation. Here is the situation. You said these same things about Randy Moss when he came over. Remember Randy Moss first came over? They were talking about, well, in Minnesota, he would just throw that hand up and run. You can't do that in New England. They're too structured. The genius over there named Bill Belichick said, wait a minute, we'll incorporate what you do best right into our offense. And they incorporated that into the offense. I saw him with New England throwing the head up, going deeper, Tom Brady hitting him. This is what they do. They will incorporate what Antonio Brown does best into that offense, and it will be an incredible, exceptional offense, one of the best things we've ever seen. And I am, and I think everybody else is, they're worried about it. And they're trying to talk themselves out of it because they know the reality is scary for everybody. It is going to be scary if Antonio Brown plays like Antonio Brown with that set, with that offense, and with that quarterback. Absolutely scary.
Michael, so much has happened in the week since we talked to you. We talked to you last Friday. Antonio Brown was still on the Raiders. So much has changed. Right. Obviously, he gets cut. He gets signed. Now we have the rape allegation against him. It does look like he's going to be able to play, though, on Sunday, but still a lot hanging over his head. I'm curious, as a guy from Southern Florida, do you know Antonio Brown very well? Did you know him when he was young? What's your relationship like with him?
I know Antonio Brown. I didn't know him when he was young. I did not know him. I was just talking to his agents yesterday when I was in Carolina for the game. I've always liked Antonio Brown, and I tell people that I measure men in distance traveled. If you guys really saw what his kid grew up at and to see now where he is and how he's worked his way up, that's to be commended, man. I don't care what you say, you know, that is to be commended when you see the distance that he has traveled. And he was that first-round draft pick. You know, he worked his way up. So I look at that and say, well, that's a great job. I'll be honest with you guys. I at first, when all of this was going on at Oakland, I said, man, it's kind of comical. And then I started saying, no. When he got to the Mayock thing, I said, this is concerning. Now, something's going on that we don't know about. There's something going on with Antonio Brown. Because he had 7-8 years in Pittsburgh. You didn't hear any of this. You didn't hear any of this. But the last 6-7 months, it's been all kinds of stuff going out. So I said to myself, something's going on that we don't know about. I said that on air. And then later on, of course, what we're dealing with now came out. And guys, I don't want to talk real with you. I'm going to say, I've been in a situation. I know the mental stress that puts on you. I know the mental stress. When all of this broke, I said, okay, this was the stressor. He's been dealing with that for a while. And honestly, now that it's out, it's probably in some form a relief for him that it's out. You know what I mean? I don't know anything that happened with the situation. I don't want people to say, oh, Michael, I don't know what happened with the situation. I'm just talking about, I can imagine what kind of stress he was under. And I think all of that Oakland thing was shaded with what he's dealing with right now in the public. And now that it's out, it's probably a better place for him that is finally out, and he'd have to deal with the stress of it. But he has to deal with now the mess of it.
Michael, you were around a lot of football teams that dealt with a lot of things that probably would be deemed distractions. A lot of those teams are very successful. How do the Patriots deal with this would-be distraction? And as a new teammate who has, you know, maybe no history with Antonio Brown, how do you balance welcoming him into the locker room with, you know, you not quite sure what he brings to the locker room?
Well, you guys in the locker room, because we brought in some, some pretty different guys. You know, we brought in the Charles Haley's, the Alonzo Spellman when they were going to things. But like, the reality is, those guys in the locker room will give you a chance to say, okay, you're here now. We're here. You're here now. And all that matters is, can you help us win a game? Can you help us win a game? We're not going to look at what happened before you got here. All we're talking about is here. And guys, this is a tough business. This is a tough business. So guys will accept Antonio. And also, the man, Bill Belichick, helps a lot. He shuts it down, man. He shuts it down. No laughing about it. No joking about it. We're not building relationships about it. The answer, I already gave the answer. We're not even dealing with that anymore. You know, when they were asking questions about Antonio Brown, I already gave you that's it. Yep. Nope. Yep. Nope. He doesn't give you anywhere else to go so that we can write something else about it. And Antonio Brown hears it and reads it and then take it as a slant towards him. And they're trying to, and they create in-house problems. They shut her down. They shut it down. They shut it all down. And I just think it's brilliant the way he handles it. Now, I'm talking about Belichick.
We're talking with NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. Michael, when you were falsely accused, I was surprised. You came out with all guns blazing. You talked to us about the accusations when they were made. And my guess is you probably had lawyers saying, Michael, don't say anything to anybody. Do you think that's what Antonio Brown is facing as well?
Absolutely, that's what he's facing. I promise you, man. Dude, you hit the nail on the head. I did an interview. My wife said, no, you can't do this. You can't do this. I said, man, listen. We are doing this interview. I don't care. Times have changed. All of this, don't say anything. Go quietly into the dark. Let us handle it. That doesn't work anymore. That's what people used to say. And I had the truth on my side. Like, you know, they would say, oh, somebody's passed out. When I passed out, it's on the camera. We're walking out. You know, all of this stuff. I had truth on my side. So I said, I'm talking right now. I went out, talked to you guys about it. I wanted to get an interview about it because it's just, I wanted to get the truth out, you know, but it's hard. Now, my situation was, it wasn't even whether it's sexual or not. I was saying, no way nothing happened. All evidence proved that to be. Now, his situation is they had a consensual, she's saying not consensual, which is a he said, she said, which is more dicey or more scary, and he has to be more careful. And his lawyers would strongly suggest he says nothing, which I even understand more in his situation than it was in mine.
Antonio took to Instagram Live last night. It was like a two-minute video. He was walking around the TB12 facilities, not really saying a whole lot, but he was in there and he was back on social media after a few days where he was completely away from it. If you were advising him, would you say just cool it with that? Or would you say, hey, you know, as long as you're not doing anything stupid, you know, just, you know, continue to be yourself?
Yeah, you know, guys, let's be real. Antonio Brown, social media, this whole generation, it's like, you know, social media to us, you know, to us, it's like, man, you can stop and put it down. You can stop doing that. Social media to them is like a hand and a foot. It's something that's a part of their body. It's a part of their being. It's a part of their spirit. You know, you can't, it's way more difficult for this generation to get off of it because they grew up with it, and it's impossible. Now, I would make sure that Antonio Brown understands, and I think he does now, where he is. He respects where he is. He respects the people that have built where he is now. So he'll monitor and be more measured with his moments on social media, but I don't think he'll ever leave social media altogether.
Michael, if it was your decision, would Antonio Brown play this week in Miami? And if he does play, what can he bring to this offense right off the bat?
And even this, now let's be real. Even this, you have to be careful when you talk about, because people will turn the venom on you if you say things that they don't think is real or they don't think is right. And the truth of the matter is, I believe, you know, that we'll start down a slippery slope when we start taking people off the field for civil actions without it being a criminal action at all. Now, as horrific as these things may sound, and nobody says are taking or nobody is taking these things lightly, I just think when we start saying this civil action and this civil action requires you to come off the field, that you know, be put on a commissioner exemption list, I think that's just very scary and a very slippery slope.
Michael, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Guys, I appreciate it too, guys. You know, that's a sensitive subject, and I don't want any blowback, somebody coming at me saying Michael's insensitive or anything. I was just sharing my thoughts. But really, it really is. That really is. It's scary, I think, for everybody when they start saying, well, take away your livelihood when we come on a civil matter and it's not even a criminal matter. I just strongly believe that.
Michael, thank you.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Michael.
That is the playmaker, Michael Irvin, who joins us every week. Listen, all I can do is tell you I got no control over the quality of other people's phones.
Yeah, I know. What are you going to do? But
it unfortunately happens. No, he was very forthcoming, yeah. And he was the perfect guy to talk to.
Yes.
It would have been nicer if we'd been able to...
A little bit clearer would have helped.
Understand him a little better, but...
But I think his overall
and
point
And I mean
is,
phone quality, by the way. Yes. I don't mean him.
Yeah. No, what he said I thought was...
And he's uniquely qualified to talk about this on a
Correct.
Lot of levels.
Correct.
In terms of both the accusation,
the
teams
Diva
he's
wide
been around,
receiver
Diva,
thing.
Like
yeah.
on so.
But what do you guys think of that part? Because I always just assumed that all of the antics in Oakland were to get out of Oakland, and I still think that's the majority of what happened there. But do you give any credence to what Irvin said? Is, you know, maybe he knew this was coming, or there was more threats of a lawsuit, or he was worried about this, and then that affected his.
Mentality. I don't really.
Yeah, okay.
I think there are two dots that are facts that shouldn't be connected. And logically speaking, if you knew this was coming down the pipe at some point and maybe some point soon, wouldn't you want some stability elsewhere in
You'd
your life?
You'd keep the $30 million guarantee, right?
No, and that's very valid. But I could also see some of the action, and I'm not defending this guy who I didn't want here anyway, some of the nutty stuff. You're watching him in Oakland saying, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
And to Michael's point, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on in his life, and that may have had some effect.
But he has nutty stuff that predates.
No, that's fair.
Goes back
Absolutely.
Years and years. Not quite as much, not quite as frequent and repetitive. And by the way, like now, who do we believe? Because there were the reports that he consulted with consultants. I think that's what you do. That this was orchestrated, right? That he wanted out. And so, I think you'd look for some stability and keep your $30 million if you knew this was coming.
I would keep my $30 million no matter what anyway.
Pretty much no matter what.
That's true. I'd probably keep my $30 million. Yeah. 617-779-7937. Right back to the calls after trending now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Go! If you close your eyes, your life will make it true.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Let's get back to some calls with you guys as we had to shuffle the deck around a little bit because of timing and when Michael was available. We thought he was going to be on at 1. It was a little earlier than that.
Playmaker's ready, you take the playmaker.
You take the playmaker. Hall of Famer.
His stuff was great.
Yes.
And as you said, Andy, uniquely qualified to comment on this from a variety of different avenues.
Although also kind of ended with, but don't really use me as an expert witness. This is just my opinion.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble here.
Right,
I don't want anybody to say, right.
Well, and he, like Matthew Slater, like Bill Belichick, just wanted to make sure people understood he is not, he is taking these charges seriously.
Right.
This is a serious matter. These things matter here. He's not just dismissing what she's saying or anything like that.
Right.
Which is probably not something anybody wants to do.
No.
Frank's in Providence. Hey, Frank, how you doing?
All right, guys, how are we doing today?
Doing great.
A lot of stuff going on. I just want to say that I think it's a great place for him because, Bill, he's a master fixer. I mean, they respect him. They know where he's coming from. And I think he's like the guy, Mr. Wolf, there in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, you know? Winston
they
Wolf.
They know he's the best.
Yeah, the fixer.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
He just, and they trusted him, and, you know, I'm sure that he's going to be blocking downfield. He's going to do all the things that you need to do to win, to pick up those extra yards, whatever it is for the team. And I think he's in a good spot, and this stuff is just secondary.
Well, it's not secondary.
No, it's
no,
not.
As far as winning and as far as, you know, each game one at a time, I think they can separate it, you know. It's what goes on in the locker room.
Yeah, Frank, I think you're right. I think if a player with any type of distraction, if he's eligible to play, if you want to just take it that part of it, has a better chance of working here than any other team. And I don't think that's a homer take. I think we've just seen a lot of examples of guys who are distractions,
over and over.
Right, and they still win,
yep.
Right? And if it's a guy who helps them, like Corey Dillon, great. He'll play there all season. Maybe it doesn't end great, but he's still there all season, has a good year. If the player stinks, like Albert Haynesworth, they'll just cut him loose,
right.
and they'll kind of move on from it.
And very few of these have not worked out. And people like to throw out Adalis Thomas. He played here for 3 years. They had a perfect season. They went to a Super Bowl. Like,
right.
He was part of a winning
machine.
And had
a good Super Bowl, actually.
Right. And then it kind of went off the rails. But again, he didn't live up to the money. Albert Haynesworth was gone because
yeah.
He stunk.
He was bad.
It had nothing to do with anything
else.
Bad. He brought nothing to the table. The last time, in my opinion, one of these really didn't work was before the Super Bowls. It was Terry Glenn. You have to go back to 2001, and Dale, I'm sure you remember that whole fiasco of Adid had the hamstring injury. He was on the practice field with headphones and like a cell phone in.
He
then got one of those letters, and they basically pushed him aside and moved on from him, and there was all those.
Yeah,
other than that,
I was going to say, and that's obviously very early in Belichick's
tenure. Before he won, that's before he had the cachet.
Yeah, absolutely. And because usually if a guy, because he actually did have something left, it's the other guys that if they have something left, there's a shelf life for it. It might only be one great year, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might not get many more out of that, but there's never been a guy who's been a distraction, come here, didn't work here, and then worked somewhere else.
Right.
That's
and
never happened.
You said they win even with the distractions. In part, the winning covers up the distractions. You know, the old winning cures all. Because they win so much
pushes
here,
it, to the back
it pushes it to the side. If they lose, if you're in Cleveland or New York or Tampa and you start 2-3, then the distraction blows up. You fuel the distraction.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Right back to the calls with you, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I will let my son play football, but first off, I will educate him on the game. You know, educate him on like what I went through. And I truly believe that anything, you know, any injury that you receive is fixable, though. I mean, I went through it. I had 9 surgeries. Probably had like 20 concussions in my life. Like, no lie. Probably like, I remember like 5 like blackout ones. Like,
but
well, I don't remember.
But you said you had a pint of blood drained from your body after the Super Bowl because of internal bleeding.
Yes, because of internal bleeding. But like I said, I'm fixed.
That was Rob Gronkowski in an interview that he did with CBS News. And yikes. Chris Nowinski, probably one of the preeminent people in the world right now on concussions. He is part of the process at BU studying concussions and CTE. Chris Nowinski responded to Gronk, linked to the interview, and said, "Rob Gronkowski, I appreciate and respect that you have the guts to talk honestly about concussions and CTE. But right now, CTE cannot be fixed. I invite your help in changing that." To which Rob has unfortunately responded.
Oh, boy. What did he say?
"It is fixable.
Well,
I fixed mine. There are plenty of methods in this world that allow the brain to recover from severe damage. That is also why I would allow my kid to play football." Leaving the last sentence out. Fine, you want to allow your kid to play football.
Fine.
No, CTE is not fixable, and Rob, you did not fix yours.
I'm going to take the guy researching it at BU and devoting all of his time to brain injuries. I'll take his word for it over Gronk's.
Well, see, I'm in the middle here because I think there is a bit of a PR battle propaganda war that is developing or has gone on for a while now and is continuing to grow. I'm a big believer that we're in the infancy in the research of CTE, concussions, until they do a widespread study where they ask Dale Arnold, hopefully they reach the point and they say they're getting close of a test while you're alive.
While you're alive.
Not
which right now they do
brains.
Not have. Right.
And the problem is most of the brains, almost all the brains they're studying, we know the person played a violent sport, many of whom had pre-existing mental health issues, issues that may or may not be tied to that. It's a small sample.
Right.
Until we ask a million people from all walks, you know how they do these studies
but
and you have to take a real sampling of the culture?
Of course.
They haven't done that yet.
Well, no, there's a difference, though, between saying, oh, this percentage of players that we tested had it. Well, yeah, because you're kind of stacking the deck
right.
here on the tests. But if you're getting into, all right, once you have it, you can't cure it, and then it's there, I don't think it matters how many you have, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you have... Say you have 10 brains, and they were all football players, and they were all
right.
ones that probably were smashing their heads a lot, had a
sure.
lot of concussions, and you had 9 CTE, and you're saying, oh, 90% of the football players we tested had it. Yeah, okay. But if you're talking about there is no cure for it, and once you have it, does it really matter whether it's somebody, you know what I'm saying?
Well, we need to get to the levels.
See,
we need to get to what is... Yes, they may have it, but is it causing
it's
the negative
the
behavior?
Point, Andy. I don't disagree with what you're saying. It's beside the point. What Chris Nowinski is telling Gronk is, right now, CTE cannot be fixed.
Right.
To which Gronk says, it is fixable. I fixed mine. No, you didn't.
But first of all, we don't even know if Gronk has CTE.
Exactly.
And
right.
if he does, right.
it's not fixable.
So
there's nothing
well,
he
we don't
can
know
do.
How.
I think,
right now.
I think,
there may be a way
right now
down
it
the
is
road.
Not fixable.
There may be a medication.
But
there
now
may
it's
be,
not.
But now
you
it's
know,
not.
I mean, Brady's big on
That's
this.
That's like saying
the
cancer is going to be cured someday, too,
right.
but it's not now.
Right, but they can study cancer now, right? And they can, the size of it, the growth rate, the metastasizing, all of that, right? They can't study anything other than this guy's dead. This is how much CTE was in his brain. Well, is that the most he ever had? Or
did it
go down after he quit playing? You know,
I don't know that.
It's still,
yeah.
That's when my point is. It's such an infant stage here of the knowledge of concussions. Like, I think concussions are being overdiagnosed. There's a sensitivity in our culture now, whether it's in the NFL and college football, straight on down through youth. I mean, if you say a kid hit his head in any youth sport, he took an elbow, he's
now
rebounding,
it's a concussion all
boom,
of a sudden.
It's a week.
Yeah.
He's not doing
yeah.
anything for a week. He's got a concussion.
But what
well, maybe.
I think what happened with Gronk is he is so tied up now in the CBD stuff,
yes.
and everything feels better because I'm on CBD, and he's taking it too far. He's making that next leap that I feel better everywhere. And they're like, no, you might have brain damage. It might be a small amount. It might be a significant amount. You have brain damage because you have at least 20 concussions and maybe 5 of the blackout concussions. And now he's like, well, no, I'm 100% healed. I'm 100% healed.
Right.
Like, that's his
fixed
message
it.
That everything's fixed.
Fixed
everything's
it.
Fixed. Like, no, you know, fixing your ACL is different than fixing your brain. It just is.
And remember,
that's just a fact. That's not.
It is. Like, you don't even need to be a doctor for
when
that.
He doesn't even understand it. This is a guy that a week ago said, there was fluid in my head and I used to touch it and it would leave a dent. And now the fluid is like the fluid we're talking about, Gronk, is inside your skull. When it relates to concussions and your brain moving,
yeah.
your brain bashing against the side of your skull. It's not fluid you can feel on the outside.
Can't feel out
it's not
there.
A melon at the store to see if it's ripe.
When nice. Gronk says, and I'm quoting now, there are plenty of methods in this world that allow the brain to recover from severe damage.
Just Sudoku.
Right.
No, Gronk, there isn't.
No. But he's not the first. That's why I get into this. Everyone's picking sides in this. Brady is promoting a product.
Well, there's a concussion
right.
water.
Concussion
was it
water.
Russell Wilson had that too?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Gronk is promoting a product. He's now
I
a
know.
Paid spokesman.
Right.
And to some degree, Chris Nowitzki is promoting a movement and a research and an
yeah.
angle. And that was part of sort of brought up in Concussion Movie, when you have these competitive scientists
right.
who are fighting
right.
sort of to get ahead and be at the forefront of this. So everybody sort of has an angle here or a horse in this race. But remember, Gronk is a paid spokesman right now. Every interview he does is a paid spokesman interview.
Chris Nowinski has just responded to Gronk.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Live action.
He said, quote, you are right about brain plasticity, and I'm glad you're feeling great today. But neurodegenerative diseases, CTE, Alzheimer's, etc., cannot be fixed or cured today. They eventually will. Please come on over to the BU Brain Bank next week and we can discuss the nuances.
Gronk may want to sit this one out. Yeah. I think you when Nowitzki knows what he's talking about, and Gronk clearly
maybe
doesn't.
As well as anybody correct. In the country right now. Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's at the forefront of it, but how far into it is he? That's my question. I just, the research to me is just really needs, has
there's
a long
ways
way to go.
No, that's true.
617-779-7937. We've got Week in Review. We've got more of your calls. We've got Andy Hart in the house with Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.